The Bible is a book of history, is it not? Particularly in the Old Testament. But then I got the plan, and I spell real well. So I said, well, how many other words can you make from the word history? Is that not what we do? Now, fortunately, his story isn't always past tense. Nowadays, we're studying past tense. We're 2,000 years, give or take a few decades, from the life of Christ. But when this book, Isaiah, was presented to us, particularly the parts of prophecy, those proclaiming, his proclaiming and foretelling, he is actually, Isaiah, I want to say more than I got time. I'm going to do away with that current time. You know what they call that? CEU or whatever, that trash. I'm going to go with zero BC. Well, actually, we know by study that Jesus was actually born somewhere between 5 and 3 BC. We know that. I just give the date of 30 AD as the resurrection. All right? It's when Jesus. Before this, this was all history to them. But when we're looking now at about 740 to 730 BC, time of Isaiah, when Isaiah was here, big Isaiah, that's all the future. So he's telling from his point of view, excuse me, that is totally wrong and I apologize, he's telling from God's information what is going to happen. Now, most of us in here are between 50 and 90. Do you remember some of the popular stars in those days? Every year they would have Gene Dixon. Remember Gene Dixon? Who would tell us everything was going to happen the whole year? Well, they were good for amusement. Isaiah was good for the source. We start out today in the 10th chapter. What we're going to do, we're going to do a little rambling road on this, because it sends us in that direction. We're going to start out in the 10th chapter, verse 1. Woe to those who make unjust laws. Now, the word woe, while you're at it, look up the word woe. Not the farmer's horse woe. W-O-E. Yeah, W-O-E. He better Google it right here, I hope. That's what we're doing. I hope he is. But you're always welcome to look up. Please follow. Woe to those who make unjust laws. All right. A great sorrow or distress. Misery, sorrow, distress, wretchedness, sadness, unhappiness, heartache, heartbreak, despondency, desolation. What is that word? Desolation. What is that word? Desolations to be separated out. Despair, dejection, depression, gloom, melancholy, and more. Now, y'all got the message. You got the message, don't you? All of those things and more to those who make unjust laws. Now, let me tell you what. James tells us that the teachers of the law will be judged harder than anyone else. Would we therefore not expect that those who make the laws will be held to some pretty high standards? I think the American populace in the voting booths have forgotten about that in the last 50 years. Would you not somewhat, maybe tacitly, agree with me? And the sadness is, a vote here, a vote there, a little bit here, a little bit there, speech made somewhere or another, has caused a lot of hardships and problems. Now, those who do some of these laws flippantly, and this is, trust me, this is not political, but those who make some of these laws very flippantly seem to be doing it without any worry about what's going to happen, but God says there's going to be a woe factor. I think we need a woe factor is what we need on some of these things that are going out. Woe to those who make unjust laws, to those who issue oppressive decrees. Now that would be over and above making a law. That would be just one person saying. The most powerful people, I do believe, in this country is not a president, is not a general, is not a senator, House of Representatives, or governor. You know who I think really the most powerful people in the country are? I'm going down one lower. I'm going down to the appellate courts and the local courts, because the Supremes don't see most of it. But time after time, almost daily, we have heard that a court, and it's always appointed by this administration or that administration, but that a court judge, federal court judge, has stopped even what the law has said, or they give their own interpretation. Chuck. Well, you brighten my day up. I have a good friend who's a federal judge, and he's been ruling on the right side because he agrees with me. So you know he's okay. You know where he's from? The guy that was the state senator leader of the state senate in Tennessee last year. They wanted to run for governor 2 years ago, but he decided. No, they wanted to run for senator 2 years ago, but they decided to. He decided he's going to be in the court system. Good Christian man. Let's go over to Knoxville and Nashville. If I had his name, I'd know you say I don't know him. To issue oppressive decrees, not saying a decree is wrong, but one that oppresses the people, to deprive the poor of their rights. And withhold justice from the oppressed of my people. So God is now, if you see the word my, that's possessive. And God says these people who are working against my people, all those woes, and then some, are coming to them. They make widows their praise. They rob the fatherless. What will you do in the day of the reckoning when disaster comes from afar? God has always taught us that there will be a judgment day. Go back to the Garden of Eden when God put the curse on Satan's descendant by the smash of its head, by the blessing from God's descendant, who is Jesus. He put a curse then. A judgment has already been predicted that long ago. We've heard it over and over and over and over. Even the word scribe, woe to the scribes and Pharisees, you continually say that. So the day of reckoning shall come. Daniel's strong about that. Revelation, of course, is that book. Who will help you run for help? Where will you leave your riches? Nothing will remain to cringe. Nothing will remain but to cringe among the captives, or fall among the slain. And when in the past, how much gold was left in the cities? How many great paintings were left in the cities? How many statues were left in the cities of Nagasaki and Hiroshima? And I speak about that because of tomorrow being D-Day. When they firebombed Dresden because of the ball bearings, the military-grade ball bearings there, what was left? Fire takes all. Nothing was left. And that's what he's predicting. And God will say, you know, once I cleanse the world by water, next it shall be cleansed by fire. And when those days come, you can't hide from them. It's what he's saying. Nothing will remain except to cringe. It's a terrible feeling of that. Or be slain, one or the other. And it says in those days, people will cry for death, because death is an easier out than the sufferings they will be put upon them. Yet for all of this, his anger is not turned away. His hand is still upraised. All right, go back with me, if you would, to chapter 10, to chapter 8. Now, this is strange. We're going to flip-flop a little bit here. Chapter 8 says in verse 1, take a large scroll and write on this with an ordinary pen. And I don't know that guy's name. I'm not going to try it. I will call upon Uriah the priest and Zechariah the son of Zebediah as reliable witnesses. When I went to the prophetess and she conceived and gave birth to a son, the Lord said to him, name him this name. Before the boy knows how to say my father and my mother, the wealth of Damascus and the plunder of Samaria will be carried off. He's predicting a war to happen soon. And how he's going to do it is through a little country by the name of Assyria. You got that map? Pop up Assyria for me. I've already got that part. I'm past that.
No, you're past that part.
Pop up northern Israel and Assyria. So what God's going to do, instead of just sending it's too pretty.
It's too pretty.
Too modern, too. Gog and Magog, we're not going to get into that. That's too much. I want it not today. Give me Assyria. Ethiopia, give me Assyria. Can I have an A for Assyria? It's like... instead of God sending a disease like he has in the past, instead of him sending in an attack by creatures, locust stuff, he's going to send, he's going to send an army in.
Sure.
Yeah. Red Sea, all right. Jerusalem, Tyre and Sidon, we're getting off far north. Assyria, at one time, controlled all of this. All of this. They were bad people. What's the headquarters of Assyria? Anybody know that?
Damascus.
Remember a guy by the name of Jonah we talked about? Jonah go over there and preach to Damascus. To Nineveh was what it was called then. To Nineveh. And we will... what's going to happen? They were the baddest people there was in their day. Everybody's got to be the baddest people in their day. And that's who he was. God's going to use the enemy of Israel, come all the way down and start taking over the northern tribes. And they did. And they totally destroyed them. There was just famine. Everything went. God did not want to do that. But he had given the northern 10 tribes so many chances after chances after chances to come back. They found their own place to worship. They created their own gods over and over. And even though they were blood descendants of Abraham, they didn't do what the blood descendants of Abraham were supposed to do, which is to what? Worship and serve God. So they got out there on their own and said, we can just do it better. And by doing that, God said, you've had your last chance. And he sends Assyria in to destroy them. Well, all right, hold your mind right there, but we're going back. Going back to verse 5. Remember how we started with the woes? Here was another woe. Woe to the Assyrian, the rod of my anger, in whose hand the club of wrath. I sent them against the godless nation. I dispatched him against the people who angered me to seize the loot and snatch the plunder. He's not punishing Assyria for destroying Israel. Not at all. I wanted them to go in and I wanted to kill him, to kill the people. And I wanted him to take all the wealth. But yet he's cursed them with a woe. The woe. Remember the woe, the first word? But this is not what he intends. This is not what he has in mind. His purpose was to destroy. Are not my commanders all kings? Has not Kulino fared like Chemish? Did you find those two words? If you don't have them easy, that's fine. All right, there we are. The northern tribes he spoke about there, okay? Are not they? Are not Hamath, and he gives a whole book, and Samaria like Damascus? In my hand, seize the kingdoms of the idols, the kingdoms whose images excelled those of Jerusalem and Samaria, Jerusalem in the south, Samaria in the north. Shall I not deal with Jerusalem and her images? I have dealt with Samaria and her idols. So God says, I sent Assyria, to do this. I wanted this work done. Well, if you're a bloodthirsty, a money-hungry, and a power-striving nation, and God gives you the opportunity to do it, yeah, that works. You know? I'm like saying, hey, you want to go to a hot dog eating contest? Sign me up, particularly if you get your own soft drinks too. By the strength of my hand, I have done this. By my wisdom, I have understanding. I remove the boundaries of the nations. I plunder their treasures. Like a mighty one, I subdued their kings. As one reaches into a nest, my hand reached into the wealth of nations. As men gathered abandoned eggs, I will gather all the countries. Not one flapped his wings or opened it. Any of y'all ever rob a hen's nest? Did you ever rob it while the hen was on it? You got pecked? You don't move fast enough. You're supposed to reach in there real slow and gentle. Nod your a little bit, but not a whole lot. Setting hens. Does the axe raise above it? Does the axe raise itself above him who swings it? Or the saw boast against those who used it? The axe is a tool. Here's where we're going with it. The axe is a tool. The saw is a tool. Verse 15f. As if a rod were As if a rod were to wield him who lifts it up, or a club banish him who is not wood. Therefore, the Lord God Almighty, I will send a wasting disease upon his sturdy warriors. You see what happened was? It'll tell us in a minute. When Assyria went to battle, they started bragging on itself. Look at here, we killed all the Jews. We did it. I'm the king. I'm so great and everything. Giving Jehovah God no credit whatsoever. Now, later on down the line in the history of Israel, and this is the history of actually Judah, the southern two tribes, we will know that Babylon comes in, captures Jerusalem, and takes, you know, Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and that group back to Babylon for the 80 years of retraining. When Darius or Cyrus came in and destroyed Babylon's power and let the Jews go, he gave God the credit. And he backed up the Jews and let them go back to Jerusalem and rebuilt the temple. So what we have to understand is that God did not want the money from Assyria. He wanted a job done, but he expected them to be humble in doing it. God gave us the victory. And they weren't doing it. So woe to those who are arrogant, I read. Verse 17, the light of Israel will become a fire. Their Holy One is a flame. In a single day it will burn and consume his thorns and his briars and the splendor of the forest and the fertile fields. It will completely destroy. As a sick man wastes away. The prediction is that God will get them back. Now, he's not sending another army against Assyria. It's from within. They tell in some of the history books more than half of those who died in the Revolutionary War did not die from a single musket ball or a cannonball. Fevers, infections, smallpox took thousands. They say in Washington's camp at Valley Forge, up to 3,000 of the men just died of smallpox in that short 6-month period. So you can see in an army that we're all bunched together, sharing the same water, canteens, food, everything like that, how one or two sick people could bring in a tremendous amount of death into them. And that's what God did to Assyria, because they failed to recognize what he did. The remaining trees of verse 19 of his forest will be so few, a child could write them down. Verse 20, in that day, the day of the reckoning, the day of the fire, the survivors of the house of Jacob will no longer rely on him who struck them down. those who were captured by Assyria and the northern 10 tribes, he didn't kill them all, made a lot of them slaves. They were dependent upon what Assyria said to feed them, to protect them. Well, after a while, most people get tired of being bossed around. But they don't know what to do. Look at how many times the Hebrews in Egypt cried for help till God finally heard them and sent Moses to take care of the situation. After this time, they will no longer need those who struck them down. But we'll truly rely on the Lord, the Holy One of Israel. They've come to their senses and will depend upon Him. Now, how many things do we see in this world where people are sad, unhappy, failures, etc., etc., because they depend on other people or upon themselves instead of upon the Lord? You know? And we all truly, if we're thinking about it, know that He could take out the world. He brought it together in one word. Well, let there be light. Let there be. He can take it out the same way. But He chooses not to. The remnant of the house of Jacob. Jacob, the father. Am I losing me again? There? Better? Better? Jacob was the father of the 12 tribes. So those that are left over that survived all this from the 12 tribes. He's talking about the Hebrew children. Though your people, O Israel, be like the sand of the sea, only a remnant will return. We've heard him talk to Abraham about the stars in the sky and the sand of the sea. There may be that many of them, but all of them aren't going to live through the trials and tribulations. There will be great numbers of deaths. And that's not unlike any war. How many wars do you hear about when there'll be a fighting, when we used to fight within the cities, wall to wall, house to house? And how many were lost? Destruction has been decreed, overwhelming and unrighteous. Now look at these words together. Destruction has been decreed, declared. Overwhelming. You just can't grasp it all in. You've been overwhelmed by things in your life, either a work task or the beauty of the sky or something like that. I am a lover, believe it or not, of culture. Huh? I sit there Sunday night and cried for 2 hours. Tears running down my face because I watched Les Mis again. Anybody know, you know what I'm talking about? Les Mis? Les Mis. The guy kept saying, Les Miserables. That is not the name of the play. It is not miserable. Les Miserables, Les Miserables. But the songs that they sing and the love that's expressed and the hope and the future just overwhelm me. So, sad. We know the difference between the French Revolution and the American Revolution. And the French helped us a lot. But you know the difference why ours was a very successful and theirs was not? We had God. They had writers and philosophers to back them up. It was not a religious war like they were fighting for freedom, like we were. They were fighting for control. But he says here that destruction is righteous. Some things have to be done. Now, ladies, Connie, what's in your food for today back there? It's not it. That's not the omelet, is it? That's a cheese dip. Right? Don't you also make an omelet? Somebody makes a baked egg omelet. Bacon and egg thing. I did understand that you didn't have to crack a single egg to do that, did you? Oh, you did? Yeah, sometimes you have to crack a few eggs to make a cake or an omelet or a bean dip or something. That if destruction is required by God to get something done, it then becomes holy and righteous because it is what He expects and what He needs, what He calls for. Therefore, this is what the Lord Almighty says, quote, O my people who live in Zion. Well, we know Zion is Israel. Do not be afraid of the Assyrians, who beat you with a rod and lift a club up against you as Israel, Egypt did. All right. They're thumping on you. You're being killed. Don't be afraid of them. A little strange, isn't it? Very soon, my anger will end. Excuse me. My anger against you will end. And my wrath will be directed against the Assyrians. So God said, I've used them to get your attention. Now, because of their lives and lifestyle, and because you all have repented and have come back, I'm going to put my destruction upon Assyria. God never intended to wipe all the Jews out. If he wanted to, he would have had. Now, they're not as significant in the future as they were in the past because Jesus came from a Jewish nation. And he welcomes the Jewish nation into the church. But it's not all dependent upon them any longer. We go on. The Lord Almighty will lash them with a whip, as when he struck down Midian at the rock of Oreb. He will raise his staff over the waters as he did in Egypt. And in that day, their burden will be lifted from your shoulders, their yoke from your neck. The yoke will be broken because you have grown so fat. God's going to reverse the situation now. And just because we think we're down and out at a certain given time, doesn't mean it's over. That's what the prophet's trying to tell them. God has a plan. Have you ever met him? I have no idea what the word means. But a lot of groups like to form what they call an ad hoc committee. I'm sure that means more ham, I guess. Ham hoc, you know. An ad hoc committee. And you get in a group of people, some of which maybe you've never met before. And in a few minutes of conversation, you're going to find out who the future leaders are going to be. They're going to have an idea, they're going to have a theory, they're going to speak out whatever it is. God is going to say, I'm going back with the Jews. Remember, we're at this point in time, 700 plus BC. Jesus isn't born yet. The Jews have to be there for his task. Now, they're going to get thumped. They're going to get thumped real bad by Syria. They're going to get thumped real bad by Babylon. Down in the farther down when Alexander the Great and then the Romans come along. And in the Maccabean periods, they're going to get thumped again. And they will never be what they were under David and Solomon. But they will be one thing. The birth lineage of Jesus. So he will not destroy them like you think. Verse 33, see the Lord Almighty will top off the boughs with great power. The lofty trees will be felled. The tall ones will be brought low. He will cut down the forest thickets with an axe. Lebanon will fall before the mighty one. Lebanon just north of the northern 10 tribes, between them and Assyria. All right, let's get back to some ages. 19 and 60. That young spry man from Massachusetts came along. Gives the old billy goat from Whitaker, California. Now, he wasn't from Whitaker, was he? Where was Nixon from? Reagan was from Whitaker. Or was what? And boy, John just looked good on TV, and he had his picture-perfect wife on her pillbox hat, and everybody thought nothing could go wrong. Then you remember in November of 1963, I still think it was a conspiracy by Fidel, myself personally. I ain't buying that one guy with one gun, but that's another story for a longer day. And we lost that leader. The Civil Rights Movement banded around a fellow by the name of Martin Luther King. And in the spring of 1968, spring of 1968, wasn't it? In Memphis, where he was shot down. There goes another leader. A year or two before I was born, some of you may remember the name of Franklin Delano Roosevelt. Led us through most of the war and the recovery from the Depression because of the war. I think the recovery came because of the war, not the war because of the recovery. But polio, then the heart problem, shot him down. But we could keep on going to a lot of tall, lean leaderships. James Dean is an actor. How powerful he was. But they didn't last. And the leaders that are here temporarily, they don't last. And either in a year and a half or in 5.5 years, we'll have another person in the White House. Oh, by the way, never try to drive across the street for 120 feet across the street where the vice president in his motorcade is going to the airport. They will not let you cross that street, I promise you, from personal experience. I'm just going over there. Doesn't matter. I said, how'd I get over there? Can't cross the road. How'd I get over there? Well, you go down here, you turn left, you go down here. I said, he's sending me to Estero through Fort Myers Beach to go about 120 feet. I said, I'll wait here. Wise choice, he said. Where was I? I'll lop it off. Cut down the thickets of cedars of Lebanon. In our time, and everybody here should remember this, a little event, or a great event, a different event, a large event, that took place like November the 11th, 2001, when those two towers were taken down, those who stand so tall. And I'll give you one more while I'm just rambling, huh? September.
You said November.
Boy, am I wrong about that. It's the medicine, Beck. It's the medicine. She saw me take the medicine. She knows it's my not my fault. And then she realized I took the wrong one first. And then Titanic, the ship that even God can't sink. I wonder who's the idiot that thought of that. What they said to him later. So, God will make the mighty fall. Verse chapter 11. Any questions on 10? Now, if you have ever been in the middle part of the United States where they have water maple trees, anybody know what a water maple or a locust is? If you've ever been in those areas, if you cut the tree down, you're going to have a lot more trees. Joe? We call them shoots or suckers or whatever you want to call them. And to get one out, we would cut one down. Then my grandfather would send me once a week with cattle salt and cover the top of the tree with salt. It would suck all the life out of the tree so it couldn't produce a shoot. Well, he's saying here, oh, by the way, if you raise tomatoes, do you all raise tomatoes, anybody? Do you sucker them as you go along?
Right.
If you don't, you're going to have a lot of branches and a little bitty cherry tomatoes. The shoot will come from the stump of Jesse. Now we're going way far in the future. You know who Jesse is, right? David's father. Okay. A shoot will come from the stump of Jesse. Jesse will be dead by the time Jesus is born. But yet, that is going to happen. Jesse is in the past. Jesse is at least 300 years prior to this. He's saying in the future, a descendant from the tribe of Jesse. Okay. Let's go about that. From the family of Jesse. And it will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding. The Spirit of counsel and power. The Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And he will be a delight in the fear of the Lord. He will delight in the fear of the Lord. He's talking about Jesus. 700 some years earlier, he's speaking about Jesus again. That's why this section is called the Jesus Prophecies. Did not Jesus fulfill all those promises that God gave to Isaiah? Well, of course he did. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes, or decide by what he hears with his ears. But with his righteousness, he will judge the needy with justice and will give decisions for the poor of the earth. Not an ordinary person, but a super wise person, of course, is one that will do that kind of thing. 6-7 years ago, I heard an advertisement about a TV show was coming on. And one of those where you pick, you know, the Americans Got Talent, all that. It's called The Voice. And the judges who picked teams could not watch them sing the first time. They had all their backs turned to the chair. So they actually had to pick their contestants by their voice. Several of them that were picked, had you been watching them get picked, you would not have picked them. So that person can't sing. Oh gosh. The lady from England. Thank you very much. I mean, to look at her, you said, get out of here, you're wasting our time, you floppy old woman. But could she crank it or what? Yeah, she could crank it. Well, Jesus doesn't judge by what he sees or what he hears. He judges from the heart. And for us, particularly some of us who are not that good to look at or that good to hear, we're sort of glad Jesus judges by the heart. We got a lot better chance. And notice he will judge the needy with justice. We say, where's justice? Well, it's coming. May not be on this earth, it may not be in our lifetime, but it's coming. And that's a promise. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. Go back to the book of Revelation. Remember, it talks about Jesus coming and a two-edged sword in his mouth. Then the Spirit comes out and all the power that comes with his voice and with what he says. With his breath of his lips, he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt. Faithfulness, the sash around his waist. See, I did not look this up and it's my fault. I think Revelation 19 gives us something like this. 19 is a verse 11. Which one are you looking at? 19:15. Well, let me start with 11. I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse whose rider was called Faithful and True. With justice he judges and makes war. His eyes are like a blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. Crown him with many crowns. On his head were many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows but he himself. He dresses in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. The armies of heaven will follow him, riding on white horses, dressed in fine linen, white and clean. Out of his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron sepulcher. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of the Lord. Mine eyes have seen the fury of the coming of the Lord. Talking about the winepress there. He treads the winepress out of the fury of the wrath of the Lord God Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh, he has the name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's given to us again as prophecy. So Isaiah has prophesied it 700 years, well, about 800 years by the time that John wrote this. And then John prophesied it for the future as well, so it's double prophesied. So that's kind of the team you want to be on, I would say. Righteousness, that which is right, that which is honorable, that which is holy, will be his belt, his faithfulness, his sash around his waist, faithful to God. It says here in verse 6, the wolf will live with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the goat. The calf and the lion will be yearlings together, and the little child will lead them. My tie Sunday is about that, except it was a lamb and the lion, not the wolf and the turned around. The cow will feed with the bear. Well, putting natural enemies together. That's what we're seeing here. The young will lie down together. Their young will lie down together. The lion will eat straw like an ox. The infant will play near the hole of the cobra. The young down here will be the infant playing near the hole of the alligator. The young child will put his hand into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on my holy mountain. For the earth will be full of knowledge of the Lord, and the waters cover the sea. So now we've got some hope interjected here. The time when peace reigns in the world. And because of that, we've got a reason to stay alive and to keep working. As hard as it seems to get. On that day, the root of Jesse, there we go back to Jesse's root, of course Jesus again, the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the peoples of the nations will rally around him, rally to him. His place of rest will be glorious. Where do you rest? You rest on a throne in heaven. That heaven's going to be glorious, we're told. In that day, the Lord will reach out his hand a second time to reclaim the remnant of what is left of his people from Assyria, Lower Egypt, Upper Egypt, Cush, Elam, Babylon, from Hamath, and from the islands of the seas. Those who belong to Jesus will be all pulled back together. I like the term the incoming or the ingathering. The harvest. I like the term the harvest maybe even better. If you go back to one of the verses, Acts chapter 1. It's one of the verses I like best when it's talking about the future and our future. It comes from the book of Acts, the first chapter. That's the revelation. I want Acts. Can he buy a faster computer? Would you let him buy a faster computer? Well, that's two of three of us because Becky can't either. She gave up years ago, so don't stress yourself. Chapter 1. Keep going down. Keep going down. Keep going down. Go back up. Keep going up. Up, up, up. Up, up, up. Stop. It is not for you to know the times or the dates the Father set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Going up. You will going up. Go down, yeah. I want to read more.
Where do you want?
Keep going. It's not for you to know. Stop right there. You will be my witness in Jerusalem, Judea, and all in Samaria. After that, he was taken up before their very eyes. The cloud hid him from the sight. While they were looking intensely to the cloud, as he was going, suddenly, two men dressed in white stood. White represents what? Purity. Two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand there looking at the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken to you in heaven will come back in the same way you've seen him go into heaven. There ain't going to be no baby in a manger this time. He's going to be coming back after the sky. Together as people together. That's man, that's going to be so cool. Maybe cool is not even a good enough word. He goes on. If I could find where I was. He will raise the banner of the nations together, the exiles from Israel. Four corners of the ends of the earth. Ephraim's jealousy will vanish. Judah's enemies will be cut off. Ephraim will not be jealous of Judah anymore, nor Judah from the hostility towards Ephraim. They will swoop down from the slopes of Philistia, the Philistines, the Palestinians, to the west. Together will plunder the people of the east. They will lay hands on Edom and Moab. Amorites will be subject to them. The Lord will dry up the gulf of the Egyptian sea. With a scorching wind, he will sweep his hand over the Euphrates River. Get me. Euphrates River. Be a map. Northern Israel. He will break it up into seven streams so the men can walk across it in their sandals. That will be their highway for the remnant of his people. that is left in Assyria as there were in Israel when they came up from Egypt. There's going to be a time when the nations, the descendants of Abraham, this is not the final day, this is bringing back Israel. And tribes will be able to regather in Israel. Jerusalem will one day become a powerful city again. It's not powerful yet. If it were not for God blessing America, there would not be an Israel at all, because everybody's against them but us, it seems, and I'm not sure about all of us. But Israel has to be rebuilt, has to be restarted. And when that begins to happen, then God's people comes together and God starts the time clock for the final days. He wants Israel reunited. And they're going to be the physical things that's in their way, like the the seas and all, they will be dried out by wind, giving them people ability to walk. I personally believe that started in 1948 with the reinstitution of the city of Jerusalem after the Second World War. You know, sometimes you can take a bad thing and make something good out of it. Adolf Hitler's hatred and jealousy for the Jewish nation caused Israel to be restarted. Because it had not been what happened in Dachau and Auschwitz and those type of places, I don't think the world would have been shamed into restarting Jerusalem. And by restarting Jerusalem, which is what God wanted to happen. So Hitler was a lot like Assyria. They were powerful, but then their job was finished. And God had them finished off too. Any other thoughts on 10 and 11? Prophecies that we've seen come true, and prophecies we know that's going to be happening. Thank you very much. 6 minute countdown starts now. Oh, well, excuses.
Yeah, I know.